Praise the Lord, this is Brother Julius Adeyemi again. We are going through the epistle of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. We are now in chapter 5. Now, like we said, he was writing this epistle to the Corinthians because of what he has heard. He mentioned in chapter 1 that he has some reports from about the Corinthian church through a family that visited. And he was addressing some of those things that were reported. The first one was that there was division among them. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Christ, and I'm of Cephas. And that was what chapter 2, 3, 4 was talking about. And he addressed that everybody should be following Christ. And then he says, he's going to actually send Timothy there in the last verse, in chapter 4. He said, I'm sending Timothy to bring to remembrance my ways which are in Christ. So you all should be following those patterns that he has laid down for them, because he was the one that founded the church. Now, chapter 5 is going to talk about something else that he had reported that was among them among the Corinthians, which is a very serious issue. Chapter 5, verse 1, let's read. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. What's all talking about? These people that came and told Apostle Paul were telling Apostle Paul about all those things that was going on. So he said, somebody has reported to Apostle Paul that in the midst of the Corinthians, there was fornication. A particular man that was among them was sleeping with his father's other wife. That's what he means, his father's wife. He said, people don't do that among the unbelievers. And if somebody is doing that among you, you don't send him out of your midst. That's what he's addressing. He said that one should have his father's wife. Of course, not the mother of that man. Most of the men, after they grow older, they marry a younger woman. The older wife may still be there in the polygamous family, but they marry a younger one, and so on and so forth. That was going on in that generation. Up to now, it's still happening in many generations, in many societies, in many places where they have different religion, where the man that is now in his 50s and 60s, because the women are now old, he married a younger woman that's in the 20s. And that's what he's saying, that they, because of the earlier marriage, they could have adult sons. And that adult son is what it was reported, that he was sleeping with his father's younger wife. See, that's what he's saying. That means he's not respecting his father. No? And that's one of the things that the Apostle Moses wrote in the letters of Apostle Moses, where he said, it is uncovering your father's nakedness when you do that to your father's wife, other wife. You are uncovering your father's nakedness. He said, that is an abomination to God. And that's what Apostle Paul said he heard that is going on among their midst. That one man was doing that, and he's still claiming to be a believer. He's not judging the father when polygamous father. That's their life. Unbelievers have that life all along. They say, the one that say he has come to Christ should be pure and holy. How much more to go and be disrespecting his father, to be sleeping with his father's wife? So that's why he was saying, this is fornication among you guys. Verse 2. He said, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. So if you say he's a believer, has he really been born again? Now, we always question that. If somebody is doing some blatant sin like that, does that fellow really give his life to Christ and has been changed from within, that we say born again experience? Or he just joined the church? Because many people just join because they like this group of people. It's like a club to them. A club, a social club. And they go to church every Sunday, go to their Bible study. But what's coming from one here, going out from another here, won't do you any good. If you are really born again, you'll be searching what is acceptable to God from the scriptures. And then, of course, if they correct you, and you didn't know about it, they correct you, you better repent and get your hand off it. God will forgive you. So that's what he's addressing there. Because you see in the next few chapters that this fellow that they were reporting about, repented. And he said they should welcome him back if he has repented. Because people sometimes were doing things that was custom, passed down to them from custom of unbelievers life, and they kept doing it. They have to drop this thing off when they come to Christ. That's what we are saying. If you have been prostitute before, you just making money through those bad practices, and you think it's okay, and then you came, you give your life to Christ, you should be no more in that practice. You may say, well, everybody know that's wrong in the first place. What about if you have been doing some business, you are selling this thing, which they say is not right? Someone say, well, is it wrong to sell cigarettes as part of the things you are selling in your shop? Well, what is cigarette doing? Is it going to cause cancer to people? It's like encouraging them to do those things that are going to cause their body to be destroyed. Not so. Not just because it's a sin, but it's not healthy for them. So if you know, it's just like those people that are doing gambling. So some people have shops where people are buying all these things they call, where people pump 2 from 4. It's gambling. And people are doing it, they say it's a game from Europe, and they pump, take 2, 3, this win, this one will win, that is gambling between which soccer team is going to win. And they gamble 2 out of 5, and then if their numbers win, they make money. That is gambling, really. Is gambling a sin? Yes. Because it's a greediness that the devil is promoting in the world. So if gambling is a sin, should you be having a store where you are promoting that gambling? So if that has been your normal business, your trade, then you can give your life to Christ, you get rid of that business and go do some better things. So those are the type of things people have to be resolved. Some people don't know about that. They give their life to Christ, they kept their business going, and they still saying they are serving the Lord. But if that business is sin, that you are encouraging people to participate in sin, and you say you are serving the Lord, when your eyes are open to it, you stop it and get rid of it. And that is what we are saying here. When Apostle Paul pointed this one out, this man perhaps repented, and then in the next few chapters, he said in Second Corinthians, he said that you forgive him if he has repented and welcome him, because he's going to be in sorrow that he's going to hell. Not so. But if he is repenting, because we were all sinners before, no matter what your sin was before you came to Christ. But when you were saved, don't bring that sin and keep practicing it. That's what you're saying. Don't bring that sin and keep practicing because you do not know, because that's an evil custom that the whole world says it's okay. It may be okay for the world, but when the Bible says it's a sin, get rid of it. When you are aware of it, get rid of it. That's really what this is all about. Those who are formerly in fornication, they are sleeping with girlfriends, boyfriend, they never marry, and they're just doing all those bad things. And then they give their life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ and you are born again, all things become new. You should get rid of all those fornications. Stop it. And don't practice it anymore. You see, your old boyfriend or your old girlfriend say, well, let's have fun. You know, say, no. This is what the Bible says. They will have to either come to Christ and get married, or get rid of you get rid of them, and you don't follow them and you don't participate. Or maybe you have been doing drug cocaine that even the law says is illegal, but maybe you have been practicing it, you have been selling it because you make more money by selling it. But you know what's cocaine going to do when you are selling it to people? It's making them turn crazy to go and rob banks, to go and rob this. Then that you're encouraging their sin also. So when you give your life to Christ, you stop that business and say, no, I don't sell those things anymore, because I don't want to participate in their evil deeds. Not because it's against the law of the land, but because it's causing men to go into robbery. But people, when they are addicted to cocaine, or even addicted to alcohol, they go borrow money or steal money just to keep finding that sin. And that anybody that's saying that's pro encourage them, you are participating in their sin if you are selling those things. The same thing with alcohol, wine. If you are you selling alcohol, all this gogoro and all those beer and so forth, and that's your business, you think you make more money by selling it. But when you know that it's turning them into drunkards, drunkenness, and when they are drunk, what do? They kill somebody, they rape somebody, they do some violent things, and they are not controlling their life. That if you continue to sell it to them, you are participating. You are encouraging them to do something. So when you know about this thing, you repent from all those bad practices or from all those trade. That's what repentance means. Turn away from it and take your hand off that type of businesses. So that's what I'm pointing that one out, because in this letter of Apostle Paul, when he mentioned these fornicators in the midst of the Corinthians, he said they should take him out of their midst, almost like deliver him unto Satan, is what he said in this chapter. But later, the man repented according to what we read in 2 Corinthians. And he said that you forgive him and bring him back to Christ. That doesn't mean the man should come back and still be doing fornication. He has repented, he has get rid of those lifestyle. The same with those who are homosexuals. When you are repentant, you have given your life to Christ, you should not be homosexual anymore. cut it off, because those are evil, are abomination before God. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed." And he's going to give a verdict of what they should do to the man. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ," say, his spirit will be there with you guys when you gather to do this judgment. "To deliver such a one unto Satan," say, "deliver the fellow unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that is serious. What he said, deliver someone unto Satan, is like, say, you rather the man die young and go to paradise than to mess up the name of Christ or not. Because if he claims to say he's a believer, he has given his life to Christ, not someone that just joined your church, that's going to say, "Well, if you don't like my lifestyle, get out of your church." Well, that means the man was suddenly born again. He was not a believer. He was just a visitor hiding as if he was born again. And there are several people in this generation right now that are like that, just following the church. So if the church said this thing is a bad behavior, nobody should do it, and it's convicted them, they would rather get out of that church, not go to that church, and go to another church that is not preaching that. Well, that means they were not really believers. They were not born again. We are not talking to those people. We are talking to people that say they have given their life to God, they are on their way to heaven, and yet they are still carrying a baggage of sin. They didn't realize it's a sinful nature, a sinful custom they have carried over. When the word of God comes to them and they really want heaven, you better drop that baggage and say, "I repent, Lord, and God will forgive you. God will forgive you, no matter how long you have been carrying it on. God will forgive you." That's what he's saying here. But if they didn't repent, he said, they are going to be delivered unto Satan. If they are really changed from within, it's better they would die and suffer their punishment right here and now, and then don't go to hell. But they will die young. Who wants to die young? Because the blessing of God is that with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Every one of us that I believe I expect to live a long life at the minimum or not. Long life means until you are satisfied. You say, "Well, 70 years is long life." Until you are satisfied, go and read the book of Psalm 91. God didn't say until you are 70. He said, "With long life will I satisfy you," which means you are to be satisfied. If you are not satisfied at 70, keep living. At 80, if you are not satisfied, keep living. At 90, you are not satisfied, keep living. At 120, you are not satisfied, keep living. It is not God that's killing us. I preached that, taught that over and over again. It is not God that's killing us. It is Satan. And now, if you have authority over Satan, why should Satan be able to kill you then? No, sir. So that's why we are building, we believers, to know that we individually have authority over Satan. Satan should not be dominating us and causing disease and sickness and accident and death, and people die at the age of 30, 40, 50 and say they are believers. It is Satan causing those things. But when we are with the Lord and we believe the word and we understand our authority in Christ, we should put Satan at arrest, under arrest. And it shouldn't just cause accidents among us. It shouldn't cause sickness and disease among us. Because he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. We have to keep ourselves, so that the devil does not touch us. That's what the Bible is saying, of course. So we have to keep ourselves, not so. But the devil should not have no right to put any disease or death upon believers when we understand our right and we exercise that authority. That's what we are saying. So when now a person is delivered unto Satan, somebody that should have authority over Satan is delivered unto Satan because he violated the ordinance of God, like Apostle Paul is saying here, then Satan will be happy to get the person. Satan will be happy because we are boss over Satan. We don't send Satan out from people against people. We try to cast Satan out of people. But if somebody that's expected to be a believer is misbehaving, like Apostle Paul is saying, he said he will deliver him unto Satan unless he repents. You know? If he deliver him unto Satan, Satan will be able to grab that fellow and put disease and death upon the man that perhaps is 30-year-old and 45-year-old, and they'll die young, not fulfilling the promise of God that said, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." So that's why we have to take the word of God seriously, so that we are enjoying that long life, because he has given that as a benefit. We shouldn't be taken away. If somebody is delivered unto Satan, the devil will be coming after the person to torment, to trouble, to kill, to destroy. It's a thief coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Christ said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Christ has brought life, and so that life shouldn't be taken away from us. And that's why he's teaching us the authority that you have the right as a believer, you have the authority over Satan. But when you go and participate in what Satan is teaching to the world, then you just lose your right over Satan. you just lose your right over Satan, because Satan now will be bold to come and after you, especially when they deliver you, the person to Satan like that. And the Lord will not be able to defend the person, because himself is the one that put himself back under Satan's dominion by doing the same thing. So, but if somebody is doing it and doesn't realize, and then they point it out, just throw those sins away and repent, and you are back as a believer in Christ. So now Apostle Paul is saying that you deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his people may be saved in the day of the Lord. Verse 6 says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That say that fellow can is a leaven, an unclean thing that will be making everybody be polluted. I say, well, if that man can do it, this man say I can do it also. Many people are like that. Somebody told me when I was preaching to them, he said, oh, my priest, which means the priest in their church, smoked cigarette. That's why I spoke too. You see, he's following the priest, not searching the Bible. Is that acceptable? Is that good thing to do? So that priest become a leaven that's leavening the whole lump. Everybody is following the priest. They are being polluted by the saw the priest do it. So they are doing it. So they are now taking their example from the priest in their church. So that is why Apostle Paul says, a little leaven leavening the whole lump. If you think that fellow is just doing it by himself, other people will secretly hearing about him, we'll go and do some other things like that too. And then they are all polluted, and God will no more be in their midst. Verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. What's this old leaven? Sin is the leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with all the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters. For them must ye need go out of the world. So he said, I wrote to you not to company, don't fellowship, don't have company with people that are fornicators or extortioners or adulterers. We are not saying that the people in the world that are already doing that you shouldn't even walk around them, because then you have to get out of the world if you are not going to company with those people. But he's talking about people that are in the household of faith. We that we say we are born again, we are believers, let there be none of us that is a fornicator or adulterer or extortioner or covetous or idolater. That's what he's saying. So that if he's the people of the world, then you have to go out of the world if you are not to company with them. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother in Christ now be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. I don't eat with them that are like this, if they are claiming to be believers with us. And but they are showing this trait that they have not repented from all those. Don't eat with them, so that they will be ashamed. So don't even eat them. Say, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. So he's talking about in the local church, in the household of faith, believers in Christ that claim to be believers, you have been born again. If you find that somebody among you is still carrying this baggage of sin with himself or herself, doing all those fornication, adultery, say don't let them come to the army. Really, he said, don't eat with him so that you'll be ashamed. In fact, get him out of your midst if he's not really a believer. You preach the gospel. Some people think it doesn't say, well, the church is like a hospital where the sick come. Well, the sick, you come to be healed, not to keep their sickness. The sick, you come to be healed. That's what the hospital is. They don't want to keep people in the hospital forever and they are sick and they are just nursing them. No. They come to the hospital to be made well. That's what. So if the church, the building, that fellowship is what I mean by church. Now I'm not talking of individual, because we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is healed. The body of Christ, you have no sickness or you have no sin in us. The body of Christ, you have no sin in us. But the fellowship, where their fellowship is what I mean by the church. When people come to God, we say they come as you are. You come as you are with your sin, with your ungodliness, with your iniquity. Not to stay in your sin, your going, your iniquity, you have to be here like a hospital. You don't go to the hospital to stay there for the rest of your time being nursed with that wound is still there, and being not with all those sickness still there, you have to get well and get on your feet again. That's what hospital is. So if the fellowship gathering is to be called hospital, it is to make people well. Not to keep your sickness or your sin or sickness of sin, not to keep it in yourself and still say, well, it's an hospital. So remember that we gather together to make people well. And then you stand on your feet, you are well now. So that is what a congregation should be. And Apostle Paul is saying, a little leaven in that congregation will leaven the whole up if they don't get rid of that leaven. So that is really what he was talking about. And we're going to go now into chapter 6. Which is talking of something additional thing. Like I said, he was already so many things he has heard is going wrong in the midst of the Corinthians. Chapter 4, 1 to 4, he's talking about Amaya for Apollos. They are divided among, division among them. Now in chapter 5, he talks about the fornicator among them. Now they should undo that one. Deliver him unto Satan, that will make the man tremble. Because if the man does not repent, Satan will kill the man shortly before he grow old. Now in chapter 6, he's going to address something else that we heard was going on also among them. Let's read on. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? And what do you mean by going to law? Among the believers, I'm saying, I heard that people are even suing one another in the court of law, in the public court of law where unbelievers are the judges. Unbelievers are the attorneys. Unbelievers are the lawyers. And a believer have problem with another believer and they have to go and sue one another in the court. So that shouldn't be among believers. In the household, we are a household, you can't settle it within your own household. You can't get some of the elders to look at the case and settle it and it's okay. We have to go to court. It's almost like when a household have the whole elder father and they have so many children that are all married, and they couldn't get themselves together and decide the case, and they have to say, this brother will sue that brother concerning money, concerning this. That's what he's addressing there. That we, in the body of Christ, we are like a family. That if anything is going, we have a quarrel against one another, we should be able to settle it among ourselves. And be humble enough to accept the verdict of the brother this that decide the case for both of you, or elder that come in and talk about it. Not say, no, I'm going to court. Before the unbelievers that don't believe your doctrine of righteousness and holiness, before the unbelievers that don't believe on Christ is your Savior, say you now ridicule the name of Jesus. That's what he's going to address in this chapter. Say you are doing this before the unjust, you are going to law. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? That is, even at the end of the world, we saints of God are going to judge all these unbelievers. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Whatever it is that you guys are calling about. Saints of God should be able to judge you without going to law in the court of law of the world. Know ye not that we, saints, shall judge angels? How much more things are pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertain to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I mean, even ordinary people that are least among the should have wisdom not to judge between one another. You don't need to say elders alone can judge or pastors alone can judge. Even the young common people can judge between, because it's the wisdom of God that He has given to every man. They should be able to judge between the cases. That's why even take them to judge who are the people that are even the least in the church can be the ones that be helping you decide the case. Verse 5. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. So he's ashamed of them. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you. So it's a fault among believers when a believer take another believer to court of law, suing them for whatever they are fighting on. Because you go to law one with another, he says there is a fault among you. Why do you not rather stake wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? I mean, Christ said that if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other also. Why don't you put that into practice? Say you suffer wrongly. Let God be the defender for you. Why don't you rather suffer wrong among yourself now? Because the word of Christ said that even if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other also. It's not just talking about physical slapping. It means that if somebody is going to take you to court of law and sue you for your coat, Let him have your cloak also, that this be a man of peace. Let him take it all and give the judgment before God. God will take care of it, take care of you. That is what he's referring back to when he say, why don't you rather suffer wrong? Why don't you rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? But say, nay, ye do wrong and defraud one another, and on that your own brethren. Because if two people are fighting over something, one must be right, one must be wrong also. And so one must be defrauding the other person is what is causing that fight. That's why he's trying to go to court of law. So those are all the things he's saying. You are defrauding one another, and you are even defrauding your own brethren in the household of faith. You are no more fearing God. That's what it means. Because God sees all these things. If you are doing it, then you are not fearing God. Verse 9. And look, that's happening in the body of Christ in this generation. We have had cases where some people brought their bad business to churches, and they think they can always get brethren to tap in. Some people say, well, you should invest in this something that we are going to help you invest your money. And people trust them because they claim to be born-again brothers. Invest your money, and you put your money in their hands, and they are using your money to just enjoy life, and they invest in nothing. Until now, they have to take them to court. That type of thing going on. You know, in America, we have had cases like that. We had some churches put their money in the hand of a brother who claimed to be a businessman. He's going to help them invest this money, and the church is trying to invest the money to make more profit for the work of the Lord. But these people are using the money to enjoy their own life, investing nothing. And the church has to now be trying to sue them. That's one of the things that's going on in American churches. Then you wonder, are they born again churches? I've heard in many church groups like that. So that's why it is apostolic. This has been going on even in the days of the apostles. That is defrauding. And by the time you are defrauding even believers, you are defrauding God, who is their father. See? You see, but this man is also a believer. They thought he was a believer. There have been a place where a church put their money in a Christian brother's hand to invest it for them. And the church have to be now trying to sue this brother because he was using the money just for himself, not investing nothing. And in the end, that's what Apostle Paul is addressing here, because it was happening in the midst of the Corinthians. Brother going against another brother in the court of law. He said, you should have resolved it in the midst of the house of faith. Why don't you let one of the saints decide it for you? He said, how much more you are defrauding your own self, defrauding your own brother. God will allow those things to happen until finally, when they are not repenting, you just bring the judgment, deliver the person that is defrauding the other person unto Satan. Many people die young enough living their life out because they are not behaving right in the household of God. They are not following the precepts of the word of God. And then they are delivered unto Satan. God will not be protecting them, and Satan will be able to kill them. It's not God that killing people. When people die at the age of 35, accident 40, God promised us long life. And in the minimum, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Is the promise of God in the book of Psalm 91, verse 15. Long life is what he promised us. Someone say long life is 70, because when you reach 70, you can use it, you are ready to go. No. Until you are satisfied. If you are not satisfied at 40, 70, keep living. You are not satisfied at 80, keep living. You are not satisfied at 90, keep living. You are not satisfied at 120, keep living. God said, until I satisfy you. People, when they are in their 120, they are no more enjoying the society, is strange to them, they are old, the technology is strange to them, and they themselves are not strong enough to walk around. They themselves want to go, you see. That means they are satisfied with the world, with their living. But if you are not satisfied, you are still healthy, walking around, keep living. Because God created us to live forever, really, in the first place. I will continue this in the next chapter, because it's a long chapter.